Hey, all right, here we go. Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. Now, if you would, if you go to the book of Mark, chapter 8 is where we're going to start. And then I just wanted to mention this because I did forget to mention this. And that is that we're probably going to try to install a few more lights. Some people have mentioned as far as YouTube, it is true that we're getting a little darkness on our front camera. Just not much more we can do in terms of light. But we're going to get the electricians in to kind of help us with our side lighting and some other things. They've talked about that. We had a lighting folk come in, but, you know, the stuff they're talking about, we're not going to spend that kind of money for just some lights. Because, again, depending on how long we're going to be here, it just doesn't make sense to do that to me. So I think there's a functional way that we can manage that without having to spend a tremendous amount of money. Like we have these lights on stands, we're going to see what they can do to help us with some of the lighting up here. A few of these bulbs are out, but it's still not enough light to give us what we want, the effect-wise. So we're working on that, just so you know, if you've seen those cameras. And at times, the front camera, it's not really, really dark. But and YouTube has gone to where they're giving you something on screen where you can try to lighten something up anyway. But we want to try to produce the best quality we can since we're doing these things. All right, so Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 15. We're going to read verse 15 through 38, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 13, and then we're going to see where we go from here. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 15. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear you not, and do you not understand or remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments you took up?" They say unto him, 12. "And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up?" And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand?" And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he sought aught. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." And he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town." And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and said unto him, "Thou art the Christ." Then he charged them that they should not tell any man. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and 3 days rise again. And as he spake, he said this openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto him, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now go with me to the book of Acts, and this is the last thing we're going to read. Acts chapter 13, at least for now, right? Acts chapter 13, and let's look at verse 1. Through 3. We're just going to read these 3 verses. "Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, and that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. All right, let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you again for allowing us to come into the house of God this morning and allowing us just to be in our right mind. Father, we recognize and fully understand that the world is filled with evil, filled with all types of things that, Father, we don't even control and know what is going on around us. Father, we just thank you that you keep us from disease, and even when we have issues and situations, you keep us in our right minds. Father, we pray and ask today that the word of God would minister to us and that it would help bless our lives, that we might grow to fulfill the will of God that Jesus has spoken. We ask it all even now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last week we did a message that was called, What Do You See? And so I want to finish up a little bit, I think. Maybe I'm finishing. And the message title this week is called, What Do You See? Part 2. And my thesis today, I told this Lord, that's my thesis. What do you see? That's the thesis, okay? I have been giving these thesis statements along the way, you know, to try and orient people and to say, when I get through, because sometimes I'll joke around and say that I run down rabbit holes and I chase rabbits because something comes to my mind and I begin then to deal with it. But, you know, many times if you're looking with Jesus preaching, sometimes it looked like he just went off on something that, why are we talking about that? Many times, you know, as you're ministering, the Holy Spirit will lend something to you or say something that takes you down a particular road. So you sometimes want to stay on path. But today I fully understood what this was about, okay? And we have been going through things and going through things and going through things and going through things and going through messages that I'm open. You know, if you've been here, you heard them. If you weren't here, you listened to them. All right? Because if you didn't, it's kind of like my students, I say, at the law school. You know, there's absolutely no way. You know, we have a class right now, my corporations class, business entities. You know, you have to attend 80% of the classes. If you don't attend 80%, you flunk. Well, you know, if you don't come, there's no way you're going to know what I say it, but if you don't come, we record them, right? So you can go listen to the messages for the class. You know, that's the idea. So Sister April said, remember that what? Everything has been kind of put out there, you know, so we know all the messages are there. We know that everything is kind of lined up, so if I weren't able to come to church, I could go hear it and kind of put it all together, along with the Bible reading and everything that we're doing. Now, I would ask anyone today, think about, remember we talked about in the last message, what do you see? We kind of started where we said that pleasing the Father, we found in the message prior to that, where we came to this conclusion that what was important was pleasing the Father, that our aim in life, once we became believers, was really pleasing God the Father. That God's in heaven, it's pleasing him. It's not about our lives so much, but we understand that if we please God the Father, he will also benefit our lives personally. This is just the way it is. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. So many people read that scripture to think Jesus is trying to say, you know, go throw your life away so that what? He can do something with it that you ain't going to want. When he said, no, if you seek to save your life, if you're the one trying to run it and do it and control it and bring it to where you want and get the joy you're looking for in life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you'll find it. Why? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So when we realize that pleasing the Father is the most important thing, and then last week we realized that what? Honoring Jesus is the thing that really pleases the Father. So it doesn't matter, as Sister April read this morning, which I had no idea she was going to pick that devotional, but it ties right into where we are. And that is that what? It doesn't matter if you go out and do things for poor people or you do things for anybody. It does, none of that matters to God, even though Jesus said what? I was poor and you didn't do anything. I was sick and you didn't visit me. You didn't come to prison. But then later we find in Corinthians, the Bible says, you can do all these things. But if you do them and you have not love, it profits you nothing. So it doesn't matter that you feed the poor or you do these things if it's not driven by God's love and a desire to do what? Please the Father in Jesus. That's why we're doing this, Lord, to show the way to the true God. And then we said that God then will help us. Now, in every area of our lives, one of the things that we see, because remember what I said, what do you see? One of the things that I'm hoping that you're going to get out of what happens this morning, not only when we talked about the things that we are currently doing right now, okay, what do you see? What do you see we're doing, all right? We are almost like a prototype for obeying God, believing God, and what God can do for you, okay? What he can do, what he can make happen for your life if we'll do what? Obey God, okay? Apart from all this stuff that people call church, we're talking about obeying God. God does not call us to what? Religion. He calls us to relationship with Jesus. That's what's happening. This is really about relationship. So yesterday, as I was ministering to these folks in Pakistan, part of what I was trying to get across, at some point, I got a little frustrated because the interpretation thing, I stopped for a minute. I said, look, I can't do this. I said, this is what you do. You tell them that I'm excited about the fact that God has hooked us up, and I'm going to do everything I can to assist them that their lives can go up from where they are. And we are teaming up with you all to try to bless you in that nation, and I'll be there soon. She went, and I said, and then you talk to them. And I was done with that. Why? Because it's not preaching is not what this is really ultimately about. You know, and this is the thing about everything going on in your life. If you're growing up, we teach young children, we always saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, the question is, what if you were saved at that point in time, if they really understood the question, if they weren't saved, what they should say is, I want to be saved. Because no matter what, Jesus has declared that what will it profit us if we gain the entire world? There's no one yet who's done it. But he's saying that's not even profitable if you gain the entire world and lose your soul. So he's making it clear there is nothing you can be, do, or accomplish that when it's over is worth your soul. So if I understand that as a young person, the first thing I want to do is get saved, right? Now, when I'm really little, I know I'm a clown because that's what little kids do. They clowns. All right, their brains don't connect, you know, and they have to get a little older to where they finally say, whoa, wait a minute. The world is strange. There are mean people in it who do things to you when, guess what? You didn't even do them anything. They're bullies. They're this, they're that. Or maybe you won. Maybe they're one. Maybe they find themselves being evil and disobedient and things like that. And they start to wonder or should, what makes the world this way? All right, and Jesus already told us, Satan is the one who comes to what? Kill, steal, destroy. All of a sudden, you look on TikTok, and they got all these challenges that these students are doing, you know, tearing up local schools, go slap a teacher, all this kind of stuff. And you think, yourself, what? Where does that come from? Well, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And so the bottom line is that we have to recognize that this is a constant pattern. It doesn't change. And church is not the answer. I listen to everybody outside the streets all the time. Oh, we're going to do about all the killing. Oh, Lord, all the killing. Well, there you ain't. Look, Jesus said, and Paul also said, in the last days, perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of their own selves. It would be violence in the streets. He said it's going to get so violent that the love of many will just wax cold. So now that Jesus has given us the future and told us what it looks like, we need to know what it is we ought to be doing, right? So what we see in those very short verses that I gave you out of the book of Acts, I want to talk to you about something here that is very close to what Sister April said this morning. You know, she works in the DA's office as an ADA. You know, this church is blessed to have all kind of people in here that do all kind of things. Y'all all out there doing all kind of things. Y'all working on all kind of big jobs, okay? So it's not like we run short of anything. We don't preach what we preach because, as some used to say when I was coming up, only ignorant people go to church. Because what? Well, they can't be successful in the world, so they go to church so they can talk about heaven eventually that they'll get. And that religion is the opiate of the people, right? So what you do is you keep telling them, just hold on. While we rob you blind, your blessing is coming. Just hold on. Right, to God's unchanging hand. But what we found is that this is really not true, that God, if anybody, whether they're thinking, if they even think, that if they were to look and let the Spirit of God work in their life, they recognize that there are problems and that they all need salvation. I heard somebody saying one day, the only difference between most people when you're looking at them, don't let people intimidate you. Don't let them intimidate you. Most people, when you look at them, just say to yourself, you know what? You're better at hiding your problems than me. Because people are lying if they tell you they don't have no problem. And they lying if they tell you their life is perfect. And they lying if they tell you everything that go on at their house is good. They lying if they tell you, oh, me and my wife don't never fuss. They lying. Now, how they work their way through it is a different matter. But please don't let nobody tell you that that's the case. Because what it does is it gives you a false impression of what's really going on out there. And then when it's all over, you feeling all bad and beating up on yourself because maybe if you had done something different and maybe if you this and maybe if you that. And you get all this false hope out in front of you, which is what the devil keeps you on the treadmill of cheese trying to run to. That eventually you can get to where somebody else is and you ain't got a clue. They crazier than you. Their life is more messed up than yours might have ever been. And you don't realize what you got is really much better than where they are. But what happens is that God wants us all to understand there's something that we go through a process of time. When you look at what happened, the Bible tells us that once Paul, now if you remember, if you know anything about Paul, you know he was persecuting the church. Paul was literally, Christians were being killed, and Paul was there saying, yes, giving consent to those people being killed. Then the Bible says he was riding along, and one day on his way to do his dirt, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And Jesus, the light shined so bright, it knocked him off his horse, and all the men around heard a voice saying in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his response was, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? See, he didn't have to figure out if it was the Lord. He said, who are you, Lord? He knew it was the Lord. Whatever this is the power. Because I've been knocked off my horse and a voice is talking to me and the voice is telling me it's hard for me to kick against the pricks. See, what most people in the world, if you would hope they would understand, why is all the crazy in the street right now? Why has the crazy always been in the world? It's just a matter, it just keeps circulating around. Why? Because everybody wants change, but they want change however they want it. Not realizing the pricks of this world, you ain't never gonna be able to kick against them. You might be seeming to be winning for a while, but eventually something bigger gonna be in your way and your foot gonna hurt and it's gonna bleed more and you upset and you mad and you angry and all that stuff. Why? Because that is the world. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives you peace, give I unto you. I give you my peace. He said, you need to understand, you need the Spirit of God is what you need. The only way you can resist the devil, the real devil I'm talking about now, is you must have the Spirit of God so that ultimately you can do what? There are going to be situations that you not like what's going on at your house, but guess what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The devil will not win in my situation. Now, you might be winning in yours and yours and yours, you say, but you tell him, look, he ain't winning in mine, right? Because why? I have the Spirit of God, and it's my intention to please the Father. Now, we see when you look in the book of Acts, it said that there were certain prophets. Well, now all of a sudden we find Saul amongst the prophets. What happened? Well, after Jesus knocked him off his horse, see, I'm not going to say y'all. I got knocked off my horse at some point in my life. You know, I was riding my horse, you know, going my little way, doing my thing. You know, you didn't have to be killing nobody. You didn't have to be doing, but you was riding your horse, going your way. And then something comes along that knocks you clean off your horse and helps you to understand you ain't got it going on like that. Now, God may not even let the rest of the world see it, but you know. See, you know for yourself. You look at your circumstance, you look at your situation, whatever it was you had planned from whenever you could think and remember. It ain't that way. Something else has gotten in the way. Something has interrupted it. Something has made you look stupid if nobody had known but you. And you're thinking, how did I get into this mess, you say? How did I end up on the floor? How did I end up on my back? How did I end up with the horse getting running off down the street? And if we're listening, we hear our name. You. If we respond correctly, who is that? Because if you really realize that laying on your back ain't the place to be, you know, what has occurred is not what should have happened. Now I respond correctly by saying, Lord, I need to hear from you, right? And then God can then not only change my life, but then put me in a place to hear. So we see now Paul is amongst the prophets and teachers in the church, it says in Acts. A man that was killing folk and doing all kind of stuff. This is why we tell people, I wouldn't care if you was the worst prostitute on the street. If you done change and gave and change your life and whatever, you free to sit in this chair and come on, let's get some word. All right? Now, we ain't the church of the prostitutes. We ain't the church of the fornicators. We ain't the church of the people that want to sin. That ain't the church we the church of. I didn't say we ain't the church of people that did that. I'm going to leave that alone. I don't know who did or didn't. It don't matter. I'm just saying. But we are a church that recognizes we all done had problems now, and we all done come from somewhere. But there's a God that's greater than that somewhere. And now we put our lives forward knowing that God, once we come to him, has something with your name on it. Sister April's down there at the ADA's office. Like she said, she has to what? She's in talking with someone about something, talking to a judge. Here is a moment. I'm going to do better, I promise. All right. But since Laura and I went to dinner last night, I still couldn't leave nothing on my plate. I'm trying. I threw the napkin on after I got through, so at least it wouldn't look like I was that hungry. So as they... Now, here they are ministering to God. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, I want you to just think about this. If we as people, if we were to realize what happens, if the earlier our children, if we're praying and we're seeking God and trying to get them there, and they could find God, okay? And then understand the pattern, how much better our lives ultimately could be. I look at my life and I promise you, I swear if I could to God, I would, but I swear to me, everything that's wrong with my life, I can't pin it on nobody but me. Now, there may be some malevolent ones that helped, but I got involved with them. In other words, they didn't just come into my life and do whatever to me. I invited them in. People say, well, what about a person that gets robbed? Well, let's say we're not talking about them right now. We'll leave them on the side for a moment. I said, me, everything in my life, I could pin it on me some kind of way. Which tells me that had I been doing what God said, I might have been able to avoid a whole lot of them things. But I look today and see that God has utilized them, as the Bible says, all things work together for good, for them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose. But I want you to think about this. Across the world, I don't want to mistake this. It's either 8 or 13,000. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't tell you right now. But I know it's more than 5,000, all right, where Pakistan is. So when this gentleman contacted me, I asked him, how did you find me? Because I went on the internet myself and typed stuff in, right? God, unless you know my name exactly, because on the website it's R.C. White, nowhere do you usually find me saying, spelling my whole name out. You type my name and you can't find it. You type our ministry name in if you knew it. There's another ministry in India. Got the same identical name. They pop up almost first. So you can't really find you. And if they did, you'd have to know the name. Well, he responds, and I just have to believe him. mean, I have no reason not to. He said he was fasting and praying, asking God to show him someone to come to help and assist him with what it was he was doing. And he got his phone out, and he went on Google, and whatever he did, I popped up. Now, okay, well, praise the Lord. I look at the Bible, and I see the Bible says that as people, these prophets, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In that very short verse, you see something. I think it's the answer to marriage. It's the answer to every single thing we as believers are up against most of the time. If we would be obedient, and I'm going to talk about what I think I see in this one verse, something I'm saying, obedience, a call, a connection, the work, and then the results. You see obedience in the sense that they are doing what God has asked us to do. Fast and pray. Jesus said, there are some demons that can't even go, but we fast and pray. It's amazing that the Bible says before Jesus chose his disciples, he went up in the mountain and prayed all night. Now, I'm not trying to indict anyone. I just want you to think about this. Before you got married, how long did you pray? Before you got married, how long did you fast? How long before you made a decision that God had called that one to your bed? Because that's more than what they called them to. That's a life. Yeah, the minute you marry someone, you talking about life. You talking about somebody that, it's like I tell Sister Laura many times, some of the reason why I tell her, you and I can't work together. And what I mean by that, what I'm telling her, is like, you can't work for me. That's why she got Love Never Fails. I'm serious. That's why I was like, Lord, let my love finna fail. Now, she's a beautiful person. I mean this now, but she is like, says, Lord, gonna do what she need to do. And she got a mind of her own. She's a lawyer. She's very intelligent. And she don't need to be told every single thing. I appreciate that. So that's why you need a ministry. Because we're going to be throwing some hands up in here in a minute about some of what we may be doing, right? So we need to figure out how to manage this so that we're not fighting. Because we're called to a work together. And you can see it. I mean, when she went back there, you can see it. I don't have to say nothing about no slides. I don't have to say about nothing. She just does it. And it comes out beautifully, right? Okay, got it. So then God calls particular people together. But did you fast at all? Did you pray? Did you ask God what he thought about what you was doing? Or was they just cute? Was they just fine, as we say? Were they just somebody that caused your eyes to jump out of your head? Whatever that means. What was the thing that made you make that choice? What is the thing that made you take that job? See, I didn't even give her that slide. She didn't put it up there already. Ain't that crazy? Y'all would have thought I was that good. She just makes slides as we go. What made you make that decision? The job you took, the one you hate now. Can't stand it. I got to get out of here. Well, okay, but how you got there? Did you fast? Did you pray? Did you ask God before you took the job? Or was you so desperate that the first job that came, you took it? Because you need a check. All right, well, then if nothing else, that ought to just hold you. Let's say, you know, look, let me remember how desperate I was. Okay, so if that's why you got married, because wouldn't nobody else date you, then you need to remember that. When you're ready to leave, or whatever you want to do. And when anybody else wants you, not like that, that's why you got married. Well, then just go on state. You was desperate. But you got to come back and ask yourself the question, what is it that causes me to do what I'm doing? Why am I going to go hook up with somebody in Pakistan? I got enough to do. Because as I fasted and I prayed, I knew. I guess why I got globes in here. Y'all don't think them just for decoration, huh? That's why I said the message. What do you see? The thesis today is what do you see? When you look around, think about what you've been seeing. Every day you walk, I saw you walk in here. They got globes in the bill. Why y'all think them globes was there? Them globes are my visualization on a constant basis that our ministry goes beyond these doors. Doesn't matter what you see it here. It goes beyond these doors. I don't know what you see, but I know what I see. I see a God that's able to do just like he knocks all off his horse. He's able to knock any of us off ours wherever we are and put us in a position where then we can do what? Hear him if we'll first obey him. Slow down enough to hear. How do you do? Fast and pray. Let me stop for a minute and let me just fast, God. Let me pray. Let me set aside a moment. I'm about to make a very serious decision. I need to be praying. I need to be fasting. I got to be obedient. That's what Sister April was saying this morning. The Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. See, we all got things we want to do and all that. That's great. But the bottom line is better to what? Obey God first. Let me see first, God. You tell me to fast and pray. Let me do that. You told me to do it. Let me do it so that I can get myself in a position to hear. Then all of a sudden, you see the call. It says, they fasted and they prayed, and oh my God, the Holy Ghost said. Can you imagine? I hope that's what he said for whoever you married. But you know, think about it. You fasted and praying. God, is this the one? God, is this the one? I don't care how much he or she say they the one. Are they the one? And the Holy Ghost said, that's the one. Do you know what just happened? God in heaven has just validated for you. Yeah, that's the one. Now, I remember what I told y'all before. We ain't trying to find the one out of 100 billion on the planet. That ain't what we talking about. What we talking about is you was walking along wherever you was, in the mall or wherever you was, and somebody, you say, and you began some type of relationship, and now you're really moving in a direction. The question is, what is this? Well, you need to ask God. And it's better to ask God before what? You rappel with a rope so deep down the hole that you can't climb out. Yeah, like maybe after the first time y'all go on a date, you might want to ask, is this the one? And that doesn't mean that you mean it's just the one I'm supposed to marry, but if nothing else, at least it's just the one. Like Jesus said, the evil of today is sufficient. We ain't gonna worry about tomorrow. Let's just deal with what just happened tonight. She got on my nerves as bad as anybody could. And I know she cute, and I know all that. But is this the one? And I trust me, I promise you, if you've been fasting and praying, the Holy Ghost gonna speak. He gonna say, you already know that your head is hard as his. So yes, that's the one. See, don't get mad because what? I can't make you do what I want you to do. Is that who you want to be married to? You might think you do. But then you're going to be the person who later is going to be saying, see, you ain't got no ambition. You don't want to get up and I ask you what you think we should do. You always tell me whatever you want. What you mean whatever I want? I need somebody to help me. And she wasn't helping you in the matter. She ain't had no mind then. She was just cute. He was just good looking. So what you upset for? Did you consult God? Let's get off the people because some of y'all looking at me crazy. Your job, the same thing. The job, I'm in my job. I hate it. I hate this job. I hate it. Right, but when you took it, like I said, did you, what were you thinking? Did you say to yourself, you know what? The man that interviewed me and told me what they looking for. And you know you don't want to do that. I remember when I worked at Exxon, that man told me, he said, he looked at my resume. He said, you know, you look like you want to be a lawyer. I said, well, not really. But I needed a job. But I'm a lawyer today, right? Yeah, he knew. He could see it on my resume, the stuff I was doing. But I knew in my head, oh, no, I need a job. Having a job was more important at that moment and they had 8-hour shifts and I was going to go to school and all that. And then all of a sudden, they go to 12-hour shifts. bless the people who was on 12-hour shift today. We hated that shift because that's the one you get the extra hour. People say, oh, man, but you get overtime. Bro, I don't want to work no 13 hours. Not at night. You get to 2 o'clock, and all of a sudden it was 1 o'clock again. And it's hard when you've been there since 6 in the evening, and you got to go till 6 in the morning, and now it's 2 o'clock, and now it's 1 again. And I got to do this. I'm just 22. I got to do this until I'm 65. I got to get out of here, I said. And all of a sudden, I found myself, and the man saying to me when they hired me, we hire career employees here. Whole time, I'm like, that's me, man. I'm career. No, I really needed a job. But then when I got there, and all of a sudden, all this stuff started happening, I'm here, I'm working, and these shifts, and I'm like, oh, my God. God, this can't be what you want for me. Well, you didn't ask me. Remember, you needed a job. And you heard him say something that you knew. That's what you really wanted to do. And you had a plan in your own head, but you didn't bother ask me. Well, because it didn't seem like any way probable that God would have said to me, don't take that job. Because, I mean, plant jobs even during that time were making a whole lot of money. So surely you can't be telling me don't take it. Well, how about maybe surely I wasn't trying to ask him? Because I was like, look, I was working at McDonald's, y'all, as a manager. And my salary was literally going to double. Okay, I mean, I think I might have been getting $13,000 a year. My salary was going to go to $26,000 or something like that. I'm not about to get up. But I didn't ask him. And then I got in there and found myself cut off from almost from school, and I can't kind of get it done because when we started, there were 8-hour shifts, and I had a plan. But when it was over, guess what? Didn't work. Well, I learned something. And that's why I didn't end up in Florida where I was, because each time I pursue things now, I pray and I fast and I ask God, intervene, even if I don't like it. I don't pray and say, God, this is what I want. I'm a fair faith. You're going to do it and pray and fast till I die if I have to get it. No, I say, God, as much as I think that's what I want, if it ain't, shut it down. Shut it down. Just shut it down. Even if I cry for the next 6 weeks, shut it down. Because I don't want to be up in nothing because I'll be crying more if I end up somewhere where I have not obeyed and was called to it. See, folks, I've been doing this. Sometimes people will look at church and say, man, it's got to be kind of rough, blah, 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 blah. I've been doing this since 1994. I mean, I remember when I was in Detroit, and I would go to church there, and we had a building, and we would open, and if it had snowed that day, you think cheering like to stay home from school. The adults love to stay home from church when it snowed. So I had to literally go to the church, shovel all the snow off the sidewalks, put down the salt, and the whole time I'm saying, Lord, you know they ain't coming. You know they ain't coming. Why am I doing this? Because you need to get that ice off the sidewalk. And sure enough, I go in there and nobody come. And I think, why am I doing this? Because God is dealing with you and your obedience. You got to learn how to obey God. Even when what? It ain't looking good. It don't sound good. It ain't working right. It don't look like you want. You got to keep pressing because that's how it works. When God calls you to something, see, when he makes that call, I want to look at John 15:16 right quick. Here's a verse I want you to see. So he calls, and the Bible says that the Holy Ghost said it. Now, remember what Sister April said? When she had that thought, she knew right then that was God. Well, see, the quicker we get to it, the sooner God leave us alone. Remember how she said she felt anxious? Well, that's how the Holy Spirit deal with you. You're going to stay anxious until you do what he say. So look at John 15:16. Look at what it says. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. The question is, did he choose you to do that? See, In other words, you a spouse, a job, or whatever. In those situations, I've got to be clear that what? This is the one that God has chosen for me. This is the thing that God is choosing in the sense that what? I first put forth my thing to God. Then he says, yep. You see, because they were fasting and praying. And then the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost spoke. He called. Well, here Jesus says, look, you guys think y'all chose me. Y'all ain't choose me. I chose you. Now I've ordained you, and I've given you a call. That it's going to go well for you. Why? Because I'm sending you. Your marriage can't help but work. You know why? Because you came to me. You asked me what I thought about it. I told you, you can do that if you're willing to put up with your crazy. Forget they crazy. Are you willing to put up with your crazy? Because part of your crazy, when you mix it with they crazy, is what make it all crazy. See, most people don't want to hear that. Because I tell people all the time this. Think about this. Whether job, marriage works so good because it's just great. Because ain't nobody unless they daddy put a gun to your head. I mean, when I met Sister Laura, ain't nobody come and say, you better marry her. You don't marry, I'm going to shoot you. No, I was like, yeah, man. And I went down the aisle with her. In love. The love boat. All right, here we go. We in love. Yeah, okay. Well, now here you are. Well, who chose her? You have not chosen me, but I chose you. Who chose who? Everybody's choosing. Go back there and ask her. I ain't put no gun to her head. And whatever crazy came, we came with the package. I mean, I ain't put a gun to her head. We chose each other, right? Now, if we didn't consult God, now we might wonder why you might want to kill me, or I want to kill you, or when it's all over, I did kill you. That's when it's really bad. But people need to understand that whether it's a job or whether it's ministry or whatever. See, my thing is that what? The call to Pakistan, I can really see it. Why? Because I don't have to wonder. I'm praying about what to do. I have world vision in my mind anyway. And then all of a sudden someone says they're fasting and praying and seeking God, and God speaks to them, and all of a sudden they find me over 5,000+ miles or more away. But that's not all there is to that. The next thing you see, there's a connection. The who's. See, because it says, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. See, everybody can't go nowhere together, y'all. I'm just saying they can't. Everybody can't go everywhere. Even though we all Christians, we all can't necessarily get along like that. We all ain't necessarily meant for one another. We're not all necessarily meant to flow together, even though what? We all are Christians and we all have a call. The question is, to whom did God separate you to a thing? That's why you go to work somewhere and you can't get along with nobody in the building scene. What's wrong with these people, you say to yourself. No, the question is, what's wrong with you, especially if they were all getting along before you got there. Right? That's what I ought to ask. God, what's wrong? And he'll say, well, now you don't fit in. Now, the question is, should you fit in or not is a whole nother question. We're not asking that question right now. All right? We're just not. What I'm telling you is, just like this situation with these folks, it works. You know, I don't have to strain to try to have a relationship. You know, when I speak to the pastor, you know, he's already yields himself. His whole position was, you tell me what you want me to do. He yields himself. I don't have to debate with him. I'm not arguing with him about who's senior and who's this and who's that. No. God told me to contact you is his position. Therefore, I will assume that position, and that's what we finna do. Wow, thanks. That's easy. We don't have to fight about this or fight about that. And like I told him, I said, my intention is to what? Just try to assist. He's trying to constantly push me out to preach. I don't want to preach. See, in his world, he wants to push me out to do something that, yeah, it'd be great to do, but I don't necessarily want to do that. Typically, in relationships, that's not how it works. Normally, oh, but you better let me preach. And if you don't, it's going to be some trouble around here. No, but God is the one who what? Connects. For relationships, folks, look for a connection from God. Spend some time looking for it. And then the work itself. Even God told them what he wanted them to do. Look at what he says. they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work I called them to. Now, y'all be listening to me. I think you are. You're looking at me anyway. Just listen to what I'm telling you right now. I'm obeying God by fasting and praying. God then calls. Then God makes a connection. Then after that connection, God tells me why I'm connected. And then after that, I get results. See, let me tell you how some people live in their life. Not y'all. Y'all don't look like it. So we don't want to get you upset. But this is how some people doing. They have a call with no connection. Y'all know how that go? Yeah, I know you know. You got it on your cell phone all the time. You know how you make that call and you ain't got no. You making a call, but you ain't got no connection, right? Yeah. You know, you feel yourself. This is what you supposed to be doing. You say, "This who I am." This, but you no connection. It ain't happening for you. What's going on? What is the deal? What's happening? Because it's possible that guess what? Until God makes a connection. Until the antenna, until you get, you know how when you get that drop call, you run along, boop, call drop. Until you're connected, you can forget it. You know you got a phone in your hand. You know you got a call. You know all of that. I've known for years that I had a call to this. But I ain't got no connection. I mean, I'm walking around like this. I'm still trying to find God. Oh my God. I know this phone supposed to work. And then all of a sudden, it started connecting everywhere. It connected in Haiti. It connected in Guatemala. It connected in Pakistan. Oh, my God. Whoa, stop. It's connecting too fast, you start saying. Now the data's starting to flow. Why? Because God is the one who establishes connection. Once the connection is established, see, you could be walking around unmarried for a long time, knowing that you ain't trying to be single. You know that. I ain't trying to be single. God ain't give me that gift. But you can't seem to. But if you do what? If you keep trying to force a call and force a connection, it ain't going to work for you. You ever notice how you get, you people be trying to find a spot. Let me just find a spot with my phone. But if you just move just a little bit, the phone call drop. You got to understand. You can't take every job. You can't date every person. You can't do all these different things. You got to wait till God establishes the connection, because he just will. Once you're there and you know God will establish the connection, it'll just flow. That doesn't mean it's always perfect, but it means it flows. The work. Some people got a call. Some people got a connection. They ain't got nothing to do. That's why I told him, I don't know what to do yet. Well, he got a lot he wants me to do. He got a whole list of stuff. This is what we can do. This is what I got in my mind. He says, but you tell me what you do. I said, let me tell you what we're going to do first. Every week, you and I are going to get on the phone. We will be fasting. We're going to pray. And we're going to ask God what exactly he wants us to do to prioritize it so we can prioritize it according to what God wants. That's what we're going to do. I don't need to preach anywhere. I don't need to do anything like that necessarily. My biggest thing right now is about what? The work. Why did God connect me to you? Let me tell you what's so funny without getting into too much detail about it. We were laughing yesterday. You know, his wife is 9 months pregnant. What does that mean? Oh, okay. Oh, Pastor is online. Well, great. We sent him a text. Y'all tell him hello. Let's give him a clap. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. We sent him a text over in Pakistan. And so he told me, you know, one of the things he told me was to continue to share. It's just amazing how his dad passed recently, and we're about the same age. And, you know, as time has gone on, we're going back and forward talking and all that. And at some point, he said, "You're like my daddy." It threw me off first. I was like, huh? And then he just started calling me daddy. It's been shaking me up, because I just was like, oh, wait, I don't need no more cheering. And I think to myself, right? Oh, no, no more children, Lord. And then his wife one day, you know, she's talking to me and, hello, daddy. Oh, Oh, wait. Well, she's 9 months pregnant. So he asked me, how many grandkids do you have? I said, none. Yeah, you're first. Oh, wait, I say. But then all of a sudden, I kind of started settling in that. You know, I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty good. Daddy. So watch this. So yesterday, after we did all the thing, they went out to go do some things at the down one of the roads. And so they travel. He has a motorcycle. I didn't know that at first, and I didn't know anything about this, right? So I see his wife. She's out there doing her thing, trying to help him, support him. They're doing what she does. She's very, very loving and supporting. He says it all the time. He told me this yesterday. He was just going on about how wonderful she is, how supportive she is. And so I said, help me understand. Because they sent me a picture with them getting ready to leave. I said, is she sitting on that motorcycle? He said, yes, Daddy. I said, let me say this to you. What you going to do if you hit a bump in that road, boy, and you end up, she going to labor? He said, yes, right now you would be here slapping my face. I love these people. He said, you know, you'd be slapping my face. And he's all right with that because guess what? That's what your daddy do to you. At least over there when what? Now, that's not good. All right? I told him, I said, let me tell you why I believe God has brought me to you to start. First of all, so we can make sure your wife get this baby born and not in the field somewhere because y'all riding around ministering and she's right there with him. Trying to do whatever. And so one day we're on the phone. And I said, put your wife on the phone. So he gave it a little thing. I said, let me ask you a question. He says, what? I said, y'all got a baby bed yet? He get quiet. Well, I know what's happening. She don't want to throw a hood on the bus. He's sitting there smiling. Everybody's smiling. I said, just tell me, y'all got your stuff yet? Not yet. I said, okay, well, this is what y'all going to do. I'm going to send you some money, and you're going buy some stuff for the baby. Now, don't buy no stuff for the other poor people. Now, I love the poor. We love the poor. We're going to love them together. Me, you, your wife, all, we're going to love the poor. But you told me that my grandbaby. Go buy the baby some clothes, okay? I'm going to need you. So look, the next time we get together, they're showing me all the clothes. Look, we bought this, the little hats and all. I was so excited. I said, sir, this is the kind of connection that God makes. Not, you don't do it yourself. And y'all, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. I sent Roderick a picture of him. I said, Roderick, I swear, the boy looks just like you. They do. They look like each other. I sent it to him. He says, he looks like me. I said, yeah, he does. He does. Matter of fact, his brother's always joking with him about that. You know, what part of the country did he come from, you know? But only God could do that. Only God could establish a relationship like that where you are thousands of miles away from somebody and circumstances occur in such a way that when it's over, you know, their relation to you and how they respect you and how they deal with you is beyond what you can normally expect to get from somebody. Why? Because God establishes a relationship. See, God is the one that establishes the call. God is the one that makes a decision to do what? Put people together so that when it's over, you have what you need in any given situation. As I told them, my concern more than anything right now is to make sure that what? Did baby get here the way that he should? We don't need to worry so much about ministry just yet. You know, I understand how you feel and all that you want to do. I'm grand with that. But my initial point right now, I just want to make sure our baby is fine. Matter of fact, that's what I texted them yesterday when they was on the motorcycle. Before they left, they said, we're leaving. And they waving with the little picture of they sitting on the motorcycle. I said, watch my baby. I said, we need a car. And so they came back and said, yes, you're right, we need a car. But cars are expensive. I ain't say that. I say, we need a car. Don't worry so much about what you're talking about. Look, I don't care about that right now. But we need a car, okay? Can't be riding baby and mama on motorcycles. Ooh, how that's going to look? Yeah, I bet you, look, if Brother Bradford came here talking about he want to ride sister back there with her new baby on the motorcycle, would you let him do that? Praise the Lord. See, Brother Simon, they don't want the baby riding the motorcycle. So we're going to make sure the baby ain't riding the motorcycle. I'm going to figure that out. And I told Sister Lori, I said, Sister Lori, let me say this. I said, if anybody asked me, so did you spend no church money? I said, look, let me say this. I got more than enough money of my own to take care of my own grandchildren. I don't need y'all money. I just don't. If Roderick had a grandbaby, I wouldn't come here and tell y'all to take care of his grandbaby, would I? No, I wouldn't do that. I said, so don't worry, it's going to be all right. I told her, you know, that Escalade you want, we might have to slow up a little bit on it, but, you know, surely you'd want the grandbaby to have something before you get a whole new Escalade. But I wouldn't even keep her from getting hers. But the point I'm making, folks, is that God establishes all these connections in our lives for a reason. God is trying. And when I say, what do you see? That's why I said the thesis today is, what do you see? Folks, just think about what you're seeing right now happening. This is the most amazing thing to me in the world. I'm serious, to see, to be able to connect with people thousands of miles away, to deal with them, to have them fast and pray. They sent me they pray almost every day for us. And that's y'all too now. They put y'all in the prayers every day. And one day he was praying in English because his English is pretty good, but not as good as his wife's. And he was praying in English, and he said he reached a point he didn't know what else, how to express what he wanted to say for me in English. So he began to pray in his own language. Now, I thought this was very interesting because remember, we've had all those discussions about tongues and all that and how some people believe that, some people don't. But I swear to you, when he began to pray in his own language, I'd have thought I was in one of them Pentecostal churches. But every word he spoke, I shared it with Brother Chris, every word he spoke, he knew what he was saying. I said, but it sounds like gibberish. But the reality is, it was his language. But just like the Holy Spirit says, many times he gives the Spirit and people will pray in other tongues. Why? Because the Spirit gives them utterance. Now it even made more sense to me because he was like, look, I'm in English. I don't even know what else to say. But you know what? I'll use my language. And he begins then to pray, right? Well, the Bible says there's a language God can give that what? See, because he might be telling you, imagine if you were praying. Watch this, y'all. Think about it like this. Imagine you were praying, Lord, I just want you to bless my life and tell me what you want me to do. I just need to know how you want me to handle it. And let's say you have a boss at work that you just know you can't stand them and you're just ready to quit, right? That's what you want. You know you can't stand them, you know you want to quit. Somewhere you know you need to pray by that. But you just can't get them words out your mouth. Lord, bless my boss. Prosper my boss so that he has everything he needs. When my boss asks me to do stuff that I don't even want to do, give me a spirit of gratitude. Help me, Lord, that when it's over, to honor him, even though I don't like it. Oh, Lord. Okay. So instead, you praying along, and guess what? All of a sudden, hey, it's better to have a Honda, as people call it today, and you just start talking. Next thing you know, I don't believe in that. Well, it makes more sense to me, though. I tell people that all the time. Now, the Bible says we shouldn't do it in here. You know, we're not supposed to be doing that stuff amongst ourselves. But it would make a whole lot more sense to me that if you were sitting there praying and God wanted you to pray something that you just don't want to say. The Bible says the Spirit will give us utterance in a language that we cannot utter. And all of a sudden, guess what? You start praying for yourself maybe in ways that you wouldn't. God bless my husband, bless my wife, bless this, even though you saying, Lord, help me figure out how to get the heck on way over here. God's like, no, that ain't what I want you to be praying. Let me tell you what I want you to pray. Lord, help me to change. Help me to this. Help me to that. And you're like, oh, I can't get them words out of my mouth, Lord, right now. Well, who gonna do it then? You see what I'm saying? We realize that the Spirit of God is the one who, if we obey him and we're called, he'll connect, he'll give us the work, and the results will follow. Folks, I look forward to everything that God is going to do with these folks over in Pakistan and the other places that God is doing things. I want to send my greetings to them as they're online. I'm just so excited about that. I'm excited about his wife. I keep going back to that on and on and on again. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to say before I close. When I asked him to put his wife online, and we were talking about the baby clothes, and I said, you got your Bible? He said, yes. I said, y'all get the Bible. Go to the Bible. So they got their Bible. I said, I want you to go to 1 Timothy. And so they went to 1 Timothy together. They got the Bible. I said, and I want you to look in the scriptures over here, and I want you to look at what it says in this particular verse. And as I quoted the verse to them and we read it, this is it right here. It was in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I said, now I want you to look at verse, we looked at 5, and then we looked at another verse. I can't find it right quick. The one that basically says that a person needs to be, take care of their own house. Because if a person doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an unbeliever. And it was so funny. His wife said something to the effect of, that's God's scripture there. Yeah, because we all recognize that, guess what? We all got to, while we're taking care of people out there, we also need to make sure that what? We take care of home. So one thing you all can be sure that, you know, as a pastor, it's not my call is not to the world just to be gone. My first duty is to you all. And I recognize that and understand it. But God, think about the people who are up here and who are doing things and all the people that are part of what we're doing. God has prepared us to take the next step of connection in the world and to deal with others and to help be a blessing in their lives. I will say this, and I'm going to get ready to close for sure. You know, the other pastor in Haiti that I was dealing with the other day, I told him, I said, look, you know, I haven't had any authorization yet to spend money in Haiti. I said, but what I'll do is, you know, I'll make a private commitment to you. I'll be talking personally to different people that I know and stuff like that. And any money they give me, I'll send it right to you. Could I not call somebody and right then they gave me $250? So I turned right back around and gave it, sent it to him. I said, somebody gave this to me. I said, I promise you, every nickel. Y'all may have ever heard this before. Have you ever heard this when people say, look, the money that we take in, every nickel goes to what we collected for. That's my commitment to these different folks. Any nickel that comes through here, I promise you, will not go to anything except what it's given for. But God has blessed us so that we're able to do that. And I just thank him for all of you all. I thank you for the connections he's making. And I pray that in your life that you might take heed to what I'm saying now. Because if you do it, I promise you, God will give you the call and the connection and the results that you want in your life. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.